y'all please join with me. Scripture reading is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 17. In your two Bibles, it's the New Testament, page 8. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village, there were 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, their leprosy disappeared. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God, I am healed." He fell face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Thanks be to God.
This morning, I would like to take you back a few years in your lifespan, those of you who are younger and those of you who are older, to a fact of life that many in this world do not understand today. When I was a boy, nothing was said about Christmas until after Thanksgiving. No one put up Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving. And they came down before January the 1st. That was the way people reacted. There was no Black Fridays when I was growing up. There were these football games that took place between Thanksgiving and Saturday and Sunday. But we did not forget Thanksgiving. And there's a proneness in our world today that we forget Thanksgiving and all that it meant to the early followers, to the early settlers, and to the latecomers in our generation. When I thought of that, I thought of the text itself. And I want to remind you of some things if you still got your Bible open or listen to me as I talk about it. On the border between Galilee and Samaria, there was a little village, and Jesus and his disciples were going through that village. Now there were some lepers there, which meant that there was a lepers colony back in the mid-60s. I was in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, preaching to all of our missionaries who come together for a meeting. While I was there, they took me to a leper colony. I had never in my life known a leper colony. I guess leprosy in that day was stage 4 cancer in our day. It was a dreaded disease. You had to be segregated in that position. You could not be out among the general populace. And if you had the disease, you had to cry out that you were a leper lest somebody get too close to you. In that special story, they meet Jesus and cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And according to the scripture, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Why did he say that? They had to go to the priest and be cleared to get back into normal society. So he was indicating that they would be cleansed. All of them would be cleansed. And notice this, as they went, they were cleansed. Healing and faith go together. Very often I'm asked by somebody, "Do you believe in faith healing?" I said, "Certainly I do. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And we should pray because there's no cleansing without faith. They weren't cleansed standing there before the Lord. They were cleansed as they obeyed him to go to the priest and show yourself to the priest. Wouldn't you think if you've been healed of the most dreaded disease known to man, you would have at least thanked the Lord? But only one came back and fell on his face before the God of creation and said, "Thank you. Thank you." You say, "How could that be?" Well, I want you to know that millions of people on the face of this earth never thanked God once during this entire Thanksgiving season for their blessings, for their help, for their family, for their education. And we had nothing to do with all of that. I had nothing to do with the family from whence I came. I was born in that family. I was born that way. And God blessed me because of that birth experience, which I had nothing to do with. I'm very grateful for my family. I've got a lot of them seated down here before me. Every one of them is important to me. I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for the blessing God has given them in our presence. Did you thank God for your family this season? I'm thankful for my education. And when I think back to the years that I was in college, from 50 to 53, I had an opportunity my dad nor my mother had, and most people in my day didn't have. And even though I was going to college, I was very unique in that situation. Have you thanked God for your education, for the opportunity that you had, that so many in this world do not have yet today? How grateful are we to God for his goodness to us and to heal as they win. And we are healed as we follow the direction of God in our own lives. Why are we prone to forget? What makes that come into our lives? I've tried to plumb the depths of that. First of all, I think we take all our blessings for granted. And the very regularity of life dims our spirit of thanksgiving. For example, you don't thank God for the sunshine until you have about a week of rain. And then you get up and you're thankful for it. You don't thank God for your health until you get sick. You don't thank God for all your days until you get like I am beyond 70. Then every day when you get up, you thank God for the life of that day because you know that was a gift. You don't thank God for the goodness of God as he's blessed you in this world. Look around you today. And how many people fail to have the very blessing that God has bestowed upon you? You ought to be thankful. If you've got a happy home, be grateful. Half of the homes in America, 50% of them, are not happy, if divorce records indicate anything. How happy are you in your marriage? Well, when we begin to think like that, we see that we are blinded sometimes by the very goodness of God. And if we're not careful, we'll slip into a feeling that we've got all of this because of something we've done to God. I want to read a scripture that you have read many times, and I want you just to count the times I, me, or mine are mentioned in the scripture. The crowd to him said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Watch out. Be on your guard for all kinds of greed. Man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that he possesses." And he told him a parable. Now remember what I said. Count the pronouns. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to share my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barn and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take time to eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool." That's one of the few places God ever calls man a fool. But he is a fool who thinks that everything that's happened to him is because of his goodness. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be? I was preaching in Bainbridge when I was in Flat Creek for the Presbyterians, by the way. And after that, we went home to eat with a man who obviously was a very big landholder. And he took me out behind the house and he said, "Preacher, as far as you can see, I own this land." And he came to me standing there. Thou fool, when you know, fool shall all these things be. A man is a fool who thinks that his life is the abundance of blessings, especially even material blessings. So they're here today and gone tomorrow. And the Bible says in the book of James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he with us the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. What ought we to do then? What's the answer? We ought to express our thanksgiving to God daily for his gifts. I never pray in the morning, you can ask for my life, without thanking God for that day. And most of the time I add the blessing of my life with Rosemary. And I thank God for my family. I see families that are so distraught. And I say, "Thank you, for what you did for me." And you know what? You ought to demonstrate that thanksgiving with deeds of love. Being close to Christmas, let me tell you what I read one time of a little boy who always cleaned his mother's shoes and polished them. The dad died. His mother was alone with the family. And she always paid him 25 cents for cleaning her shoes and polishing them. But that Christmas, he did it, and he wrote on a note, and I'm going to say it like he did it, "I've done it for love." What an insight. in your prayer, just out loud talking to God, count your blessings. And you know, when you go down that list, it won't be long before you'll be very, very grateful. But of all things you need to thank God for, is for Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, the reason you're seated here today. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9, thank God for his unspeakable gift. NIV says indescribable gift. The English version says inexpressible gift. It's beyond all our expression of thanksgiving. What a gift! There are only two people in this world who ever pledged to die in your place. One of them is the Lord Jesus, and the other one is a veteran. Remember that. To die for you. And the very freedom we enjoy to sit here today is because thousands of good people, most of them young Americans, laid down their very life for you to have this freedom, even to worship. Why should we thank him? Because Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the one who was and is and ever shall. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In his life, in his heart and soul, was the light, and the light was the light of the world. And the world did not understand it nor see it, but he came to bring us life. And from the beginning of time to this day, he has existed and he ever will exist. And I take this book and open it, and it tells me he's the good shepherd of the sheep. That 23rd Psalm is probably the best known scripture in the Old Testament, certainly, maybe even in the Bible. But what does a good shepherd do according to John 10? He knows us. He's known us from the beginning. He said, I know my sheep, and they know my name. You will never see a picture of a shepherd driving sheep. You don't drive sheep any more than you gather up cats. They don't drive, but they follow the voice of the good shepherd. I know them, and they know me. And he said, they're in my hand, Jesus said there. And I'm in my Father's hand. And no man can take them from me. Think of that. No man. What a gift to be in the hand of the Father. He's the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Somebody had to pay for our sins. Scripture says in Corinthians, for he hath made him to be sin, him who knew no sin, for us, that we may through the righteousness of God be favorable in God's sight. He's the reason we'll stand in judgment. And he'll say, he belongs to me. He confessed me as Lord. He's one of mine. Be thankful. And finally, he's the sovereign King of the universe. Now, we're getting to the season where in him that'll be made obvious. And I never hear, now I'm not a fan, I hate to admit this, of all the hallelujah chords. I mean, of all the hammer chords, but the hallelujah chords, I love. What does it say? And he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And we're going to be subject to his love and his direction and handle as the whole world rising up with a resounding response, triple for disable,
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thanks be to God for that indescribable, unspeakable gift. That is thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you together as pastors, people, for all the blessings you give us, not the least of which is this church and its ministry and its body and our friends. Thank you, God, so much for that and so much more. In Christ's name, amen. Come to the end of our worship service. According to our program, we're going to